Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are discussing a God of wrath versus a God of love. Now, there are some who think the God of the Old Testament is a God of wrath and that the God of the New Testament is a God of love. Well, God is the same throughout the entire Bible. His wrath and his love are revealed in both the Old and the New Testaments. Listen to these two verses. Malachi 3:6 says, "I am the Lord and I do not change." Then Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever."
Oh, I like those two verses, Bill. It's so true. You know, and in today's podcast, we will see why there are some differences in God's response to sin in the Old Testament, and we will see why sometimes he commanded his people to destroy the wicked along with the women and children.
Right.
However, let's take a look first at these next scriptures, which reveal God's heart and his long-suffering for all people. And this is the God in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 5:1 states, "Run up and down every street, says the Lord. Look high and low. Search throughout the city. If you can find even one just and honest person, I will not destroy the city."
Boy, that's strong.
And Jeremiah 8:4-5, God says, "When they discover they're on the wrong road, don't they turn back? Then why do these people stay on their self-destructive path? Why do the people refuse to turn back even though I warned them?"
Boy, you can sure see God's heart here.
And see how he warns
right first,
you know, and
exactly.
They're so good.
Here's a few more. Jeremiah 26:3 says, "Perhaps they will listen and turn from their evil ways. Then I will change my mind about the disaster I am ready to pour out on them because of their sins." Then Lamentations 3:33 says, "For God does not enjoy hurting people or causing them sorrow. The Lord has no pleasure in allowing punishment. The Lord over and over pleads for people to simply turn back to him, for he delights in showing mercy." I mean, that's strong. I mean, that's so clear. You can see his heart. He's longing for people to turn back from sin, repent, and he can show mercy.
Yes, exactly. You know, and Bill, also, these are two great verses that describe God in the Old Testament. Exodus 34:6 says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth." Psalms 86:5 also says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you."
Boy, that's clear. You know, in the Old Testament, when God's people would disobey him and worship false gods, he would punish them. However, he would always give them many warnings and opportunities to repent before doing so. Now, once they repented, he would forgive them and bless them.
So, Bill, why did God destroy many people in the Old Testament? I mean, why did God respond with anger and sometimes command the Israelites to kill even the children?
Well, first of all, God is a God of justice and judgment. Psalms 89:14 says, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face." So God exercises both judgment and mercy. God exercised judgment on sin and mercy on those who repented. His anger is not an emotional outburst, but rather a righteous response against sin. You know, he must punish the evildoers and see that justice is carried out. As for the other nations, it states in Deuteronomy 7:1-4 that God told the Israelites not to mingle with these seven different nations nor marry their wives, that surrounded them, the nations that surrounded them. These were the nations that worshipped false gods and sacrificed their children to the pagan god Molech. They would place their children in the arms of the statue, burning them alive in the fire. It was horrific. They were told that their god would be angry if they refused to do so. Now, they were also grossly immoral and perverted. These were all despicable practices, And these nations were also enemies of Israel and were constantly trying to destroy them.
Yeah, that's so true, Bill.
Right, so God told them to stay away, be separate from them, and don't intermarry because they would pervert you.
Yeah, he warned them over and over.
Right.
You know, and God did not want his people polluted by their wicked ways and pagan gods. But if the Israelite men would see a beautiful woman from one of these nations, you know, Bill, they would be tempted and they'd want them as their wife.
Right.
And God knew they would be tempted in sin. You know, also if God allowed his people to mix with the foreign religions, then God's people would be polluted, defiled, and end up in hell. The only way to stop the cancer of sin from spreading was to destroy the evil. You know, Bill, and sadly, little children can suffer and die because of their wicked parents.
That's right.
I mean, that's even true today. According to the scripture, little children would still go to heaven if they were killed, since they were not held accountable. They would be below the age of accountability.
That's right.
And I know you do a video on that, about the age of accountability, if people want to check that out for further understanding.
Right. You know, in the New Testament, God hasn't changed. However, he has reserved his judgment and wrath until the tribulation period coming on the earth and at the great white throne judgment. Now, at the judgment, he will appoint those who have rejected him their place in the lake of fire, as stated in Matthew 24:51, 25:41, 25:46, Revelation 14:10 and 11, 20:11 through 15, and 21:8. Now, Revelation 6:17 says, "For the great day of his wrath has come." Now, this refers to the tribulation period. Then in 2 Peter 2:9, it states, "He has reserved the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Now, this refers to the great white throne judgment. He has reserved his judgment because he already poured out his wrath on Jesus on the cross. So his anger against sin has been appeased. And that's explained in 1 John 2:2. You know, but if someone rejects the provision for their sins, which is Jesus Christ, then they will have to take the wrath in an eternal hell.
Oh, that's so true and so sad because they don't have to, you know? And Jesus was promised, you know, in the Old Testament, but he was fully revealed in the New Testament. And that's why the New Testament provides a greater revelation of God's love. You know, listen to Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And of course, most Christians know this verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Boy, that's the ultimate love, giving his own Son for us to die in our place. You know, to be saved, a person needs to confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior and repent of their sins. He is the only one who died in our place and then rose from the dead. He is the Son of God. Now, he will forgive anyone who asks sincerely and humbly, just as he did with the thief on the cross. He is a God of love and mercy.
You know, Bill, but there are some people who mistake Jesus as only a God of love. You know, however, he is also holy and a God, as you said earlier, a God of justice and judgment.
Right.
And it's interesting, in the New Testament, Romans 1 states that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And the book of Revelation reveals God's wrath during the 7-year tribulation period. And it's interesting, Jesus is the one opening the seals of God's judgment.
That's true.
13 times in the book of Revelation, it states that God is pouring out his wrath upon the earth because of man's sin.
Right. And here's just a few. Right. Here's just a few of those scriptures. And this was Revelation 16:1. This was a command to the angels. And it said, "Go your ways and pour out the wrath of God upon the earth." Revelation 19:15 mentions the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Zephaniah 1:14 and 15 says, "The great day of the Lord is near. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, trouble, distress, wasteness, and desolation." And then Nahum 1:6 says, "Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire. Wow, those are scary verses. That's the other side of God. You know, a person would be wise to call upon Jesus Christ today and receive him as their merciful Savior, rather than meet him on Judgment Day as Almighty God and the righteous judge who must sentence them to an eternity in hell.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.